here we go. Another hour of information and witty repartee. How's that? Well, not always. We try. It's a difficult world out there, especially for that nearly 7 billion who have been injected with, in many cases, is a biological weapon. In this country, and all the countries that happen to do business with Pfizer and Moderna, etc., it's a biological military weapon. Anyone who calls it a vaccine is doing you a disservice. Now, we've been saying that here for over 2 years now. This should never be referred to as a vaccine. Maybe in desperation when you're in a conversation, you say vaccine. Okay, I understand. But the bottom line is it's not owned by Pfizer, not owned by Moderna, it's owned by the Pentagon, and they do not have your good health in mind, period. All right, now to the better half of our research team. Are you there, young lady?
I'm here, Jeff.
See? It's that, how can I resist that laugh? I can't. Can't resist it. You got me with the laugh. All right. Now, we have Peter McCullough, another little short video here on blood clots. Now, I haven't heard this. It's going to be new to me, but I'm kind of curious to see how he handles the differences between the type of blood clotting that is taking people out. Right? So we'll find out as we listen to this. Anything you want to do by way of a setup for this? We're going to jump right into it.
No, I think this is part of the same interview that we played the other night with that Jeffrey Prather.
Yeah.
But, yeah, he covers a lot of topics, and some of this is not easy to hear. You know, I really feel for these people who have taken these injections, and this now is starting to come out. And they're not left with a lot of good alternatives as for treatments.
If you missed your last program, we're doing this for you. Go to the archives on the right side of the homepage. You'll see it, Jeff and Erica, and they're all there. Look for Peter McCullough's video. It's 2 minutes long, and I would really like to make sure all of you get to see that. I played it twice last program, the last one we did, because it's very important. He just ties it all together, which is what we've been doing here for a long time, and it's nice to see many of the luminaries in the field beginning to state it in a very similar fashion. It's critically important that no more games be played. Although, not to sound negative or pessimistic, but it kind of doesn't matter a whole lot when you look at the truth and reality of the situation. They have successfully injected nearly 7 billion people. It's game, set, and match. They've won. This is not the kind of an injection, a biological weapon, that you can detox from because of its genetic catastrophe that it does to your DNA. It changes it. You don't detox that. It doesn't go away. Now, I know a lot of you listening may not want to hear that, but we're not going to misrepresent anything here. And for all of you out there who have been paying attention, you will know that shedding, which, as we've said many times, was built in to the entire construct of this enormous cataclysmic depopulation effort, shedding is a crucial issue, not only for the unvaxxed, but for the vaxxed as well, because they have VAIDS. Their immune system is wrecked. Their blood circulatory system is physically wrecked because the endothelial damage is done. We've explained this many times. So let's hear what Peter McCullough has to say about blood clots.
In my clinical practice, I've seen blood clots on the arterial and venous side just with the COVID infection itself, multiple exposures. Almost always there's a genetic predisposition underlying that. And then I've seen even a higher risk of serious blood clots in people who have had COVID and who've taken the vaccine, multiple cases. In fact, cases that are so extreme, they've resulted in amputation, as an example, young people having their lower limb completely taken off We know that former Dallas Cowboys star Deion Sanders is back in the hospital with more amputations. He has an arterial blood clotting syndrome after taking multiple COVID shots. Famed weatherman Al Roker took multiple shots, including his first shots on TV, got COVID last summer, spent the fall, multiple hospitalizations for deep venous thrombosis and pulmonary embolism. And then we have the case in the public sphere right now of Jamie Foxx, and somebody who I know. Jamie wanted to meet me and take pictures a few years ago. And, you know, I tweeted out, I said, Jamie, I said, you know what we talked about, I help you held strong. And sure enough, Hollywood Reporter A.J. Benza is reporting that Foxx, in fact, was forced to take a vaccine, you know, before going on a set in Atlanta to shoot a movie. And Benza is reporting that Foxx has had a devastating stroke with a blood clot in the brain. He's been out of sight now for 2 months, said to be in inpatient rehab. I can tell you, when I have kind of high, you know, high profile patients with a stroke, I get them in and out of the hospital in 2 or 3 days and they go home with home rehab. Somebody who's been in the hospital for a couple months, then inpatient rehab, as reported by Benza, makes me think it's a devastating stroke, a neurologically devastating stroke, as Von Dag Berhild reported in JAMA. I don't know directly what happened to Jamie Foxx, but it's up for discussion based on this reporting.
But is it fair to say, Peter and Jim and Claire, that that blood clots are more likely to happen from the vaccine than the virus itself?
I think that's fair. We know that the antibody.
Wait, stop that. It's absolutely fair. These shots are beyond catastrophic to the human body. They can cause microclotting, blood clotting, and they certainly begin to throw amyloids together almost immediately. You're in real trouble. And I know a lot of people are still walking around saying, well, I've had 2 shots, I'm fine. Good. I hope it stays that way. Unfortunately, many people are not fine, and their blood, if they were to do live blood analysis, will show that they are horrifically impacted by this. How the heart heroically continues to pump this sludge around is beyond me, but often
it stops. Well, don't forget, speaking of looking fine, just go back to that German bodybuilder, Joe Lund was his last name? Joe Aesthetic?
Linder,
okay. He's somebody that looked very healthy, although he did have 2 plasmapheresis treatments to supposedly clean his blood.
Major intervention.
And still ended up having an aneurysm.
A fatal aneurysm.
Fatal aneurysm, yes. He died. And what was he, 30 years old?
Something like that.
And that last interview he did was, I think, just days before he died. Looking perfectly healthy.
Yeah, I think you're right. This is not a joke. All right, let's go back to Peter McCullough.
Against the spike protein is far, far higher with the vaccine.
I'm going to back it up just a drop. All right.
I think that's fair. We know that the antibodies against the spike protein is far, far higher with the vaccine. Don't forget the vaccine, if given on schedule, is given every 6 months. Most people don't get COVID.
Now, you see, Dr. McCullough, again, is not doing his best here. It's not a vaccine, Peter. Come on. Call it what it is. It's a biological weapon. It's a depopulation biological weapon.
Every 6 months. And then there's a proxy for the amount of spike protein in the blood, and that's the D-dimer level. The D-dimer level is characteristically much higher in someone who's taken a vaccine, even through the normal range. We have word now that a lab diagnostic company in the United States, Invitrogen, will be offering a spike protein assay, which we'll be able to measure the spike protein in blood, probably plasma. That's going to be incredibly useful. There are multiple studies demonstrating the spike protein is physically in the blood clot. It's physically in the blood clot. and the spike protein folds and becomes amyloidogenic. Amyloid means like rubber in the body. So anything that's amyloid, amyloid heart, amyloid liver, it's a rubberized feature.
Well, the spike protein doesn't fold and become amyloidogenic. It causes other proteins to misfold, and they begin to agglutinate, and they are the amyloid basis for these rubberized clots. When you
hear
D-dimer, D-dimer has nothing to do with amyloid clots. It will not in any way reflect anyone's blood clot status. If you're talking about blood clots, you're fine. If you're talking about amyloid clots, D-dimer is useless.
And what medical examiners and coroners and embalmers have been reporting are large rubbery clots that are occluding the venous system. In fact, the body is unable to be drained and prepared for a casket. So they're dissecting out large clots, of which, you know, probably many form post-mortem. But inside them, the spike protein...
Excuse me for the interruption again. That's very interesting, that statement. Many of the amyloid clots form in the deceased's body.
Well, I have heard that hypothesized. I think Philip McMillan hypothesized that. Mm-hmm. We don't know. You know, of course, when blood flows or stops, that's when it's going to clot.
It's a different kind of clot.
When you see the blood being pulled out of these people while they're alive during a blood draw,
good luck.
Uh-huh. It's thick.
Mm-hmm.
And you can find these amyloid fibrils in a blood sample.
They are identifiable. And you know what? Rather than wait for a spike test, why not just do a blood test and look for amyloid fibrils? It seems to me that
there's only one person in this country right now that I know who's performing that test. They are working on it. Professor Resia Pretorius and Douglas Kell in South Africa are trying to come up with a test that could be commercially available to test for these things. And one of the uses would be for purposes of having surgery, because there are a lot of people going in for surgeries these days. In fact, I know of somebody locally who died on the table from a blood clot. He was going in for bariatric surgery or something, and I believe he was only in his 40s. Died on the table from a clot. Now, apparently, these clots, or the body's tendency to form these clots, can vary from day to day, week to week. And as a precaution, they're recommending now that these patients be analyzed ahead of time to see their propensity for forming these types of clots, so they might have a better outcome for their surgery.
Yeah, kind of common sense stuff, really. Okay, here we go.
Amyloidogenic spike protein's been formed. And then in one paper exclusively on the Janssen vaccine, but it makes an important point, from the FDA, Silver Spring, Maryland, published on thousands of blood clots in living human beings. And there, the blood clots extended from the ankle to the hip, bigger than we've ever seen before. And I do see these in my clinical practice. 11% were fatal. 11%. So I'm extremely worried. These blood clots are we've never seen them this extensive in the past. They're not responding to blood thinners. I'm prescribing traditional blood thinners.
Because amyloid clots cannot respond to blood thinners. They're not made of blood. But my God, if you have a clot from your ankle to your hip, up that artery apparently, or maybe through the venous system, I don't know, that's an enormous blockage.
Sure is.
The aspirin. And recently I've added a natural product called natokinase.
Let me back this up for all of you who got pen and paper out there. These are things we've said for a long time, but new to some of you, I'm sure. Here.
centers adding aspirin. And recently I've added a natural product called nattokinase derived from the fermentation of soy, Japanese discovery. With great caution, I'm adding it to blood thinners because the blood clots are not dissolving. I now have patients with inferior vena cava filters in to try to catch blood clots. We've had devastating results with systemic blood clots. The ones concerning in this paper are ones up in the brain. Another famous public figure can be talked about, and that's Hailey Bieber, the wife of Justin Bieber. She had a blood clot in the brain that had to be retrieved out radiographically. Again, these public figures, they don't disclose about their vaccine status, but they certainly don't decline or deny they've taken the vaccine. So I think we should assume they've taken the vaccine and had a vaccine complication.
A complication, yes. Just a slight detour off the pathway to health and happiness. A slight complication. Here, we have clotting issues, and some of you out there listening right now probably have clots. If you've taken the injection, chances are you have microclots at the very least. And I don't take any pleasure in saying this, but you need to do everything you can. And nattokinase is something we've talked about here for a long time. Serapeptase is the other one. You can buy them together. Some companies sell it as natto-sera, S-E-R-R-A. That's a good thing to take. These will work on, we hope, the amyloid aspect of things to a degree. But again, there's no slam dunk for any of this. This weapon was put together by some of the most diabolically satanic minds in human history. It's that bad. And we've been saying this for a long time.
I would add, too, another prophylactic to help in that regard is the flush niacin. That has been known for, I don't know, decades that it lowers fibrinogen levels. Fibrinogen is the precursor to fibrin. And if you can take something like 1 to 3 grams of flush niacin per day, that's the therapeutic dose to have that effect, that fibrinogen lowering effect, that would be something helpful. Vitamin C also acts similarly to the flush niacin in that regard.
How many milligrams?
And there's a lot of things you can do naturally to stack the deck in your favor.
What would your suggestion on vitamin C milligrams per day?
Again, it tends to be higher than normal or higher than typical doses. 1 gram, 3 grams. I mean, they tell you to do it to bowel tolerance. Start low and work your way up. But there are, like I said, natural ways to do this to try to, stack the deck in your favor so that you're not providing all the substrates to create these clots. Aspirin is another thing that's an antiplatelet. It will curtail the platelet's tendency to want to activate, so to speak, and then aggregate. Curcumin is another thing, garlic. These are all things that will help the viscosity of your blood.
This goes back
naturally,
to...
Not in a pharmaceutical sense.
I would say perhaps the two most important things, two of the most important things, and they're way up the list, for everyone, period, and especially those who have been injected, would be Allicin C and BioSuperfood. Allicin C, each capsule has the equivalent of 35 cloves worth of allicin from garlic. That's the active ingredient you want. Allicin C is a fabulous product. Unduplicated.
And it has the antibacterial component to it as well.
Yes. Yes, thanks. And then BioSuperfood, just an astonishing wellspring of nutrients for your body. Nutrients that your body may have never seen before. four of the most potent algaes on the planet, raised in the most purely organic possible laboratories, put in capsules, little tiny capsules, each capsule having over 15,000 different nutrients for your body. You take BioSuperfood and Allicin C, and you have a rudimentary bedrock already that I don't think can be beat. Add to it curcumin, it's turmeric, but it's a more potentized form. There are other things, NAC, we've been through this many, many times. But honestly, Allicin C, and I'm very proud of it. It's my label, and I've been selling it for 16 years, 17 years. And BioSuperfood, Roland Thomas and Dr. Michael Kiriak with that product. Wonderful, wonderful products. 15,000 different nutrients in each capsule of BioSuperfood. You can't touch that anywhere. No way.
No, and that's really what's missing from the modern diet is these trace micronutrients.
Yes.
And, you know, you really can't replicate a healthy cell without having all of that.
I agree. Okay, let's take a look at the autoimmune problem that so many are fighting now. Give us a little background on that. Let me set this up. Here's a story from Children's Health Defense. Mainstream publications and regulatory agencies have buckled to public pressure to admit the COVID-19 injections can cause injuries such as myocarditis and pericarditis. But until recently, they published little or nothing about the substantial number of people suffering from autoimmune disease after being injected. The journal, it was a couple of weeks ago, Science, published an article confirming that COVID-19 injections are linked to autoimmune disorders such as small fiber neuropathies, postural orthostatic tachycardia, that's a syndrome called POTS, you've heard of POTS before, and more. We've been screaming from the top of our lungs about these things, says Dr. Wilson, founder of Can We Talk, blah, 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 and finally, slowly, it's being acknowledged. Susanna Newell, former board member of the Vaccine Injured Patient Advocacy Group, called React 19, told Children's Health Defense, this is a quote, "I'm extremely grateful that doctors and medical institutions are now willing to talk about adverse reactions. They should have been listening to the injured. We even have many injured medical professionals among the injured who have had trouble being heard. This should have been talked about 2.5 years ago," which we were, by the way, doing right here. It goes on from there. But inflammation, bad things are going on. Go ahead. Tell us more.
Yeah, we're starting to see, I think, the autoimmune component to this in spades. And this was brought up even before the vaccines were rolled out, the so-called vaccines. They said that there were so many homologous epitopes in the spike protein that it was just begging for, well, what we call molecular mimicry, where the body is making antibodies against portions of the spike that it sees as foreign, but because of the similarity of those sequences, those proteins, peptides, to those that are already present in the human body, there was a high probability that people would develop an autoimmune disorder if they were injected with this stuff, to say nothing of being injected and made to manufacture this protein.
Mm-hmm.
And we are seeing an explosion now of autoimmune disorders of all different types, which is no surprise if this injection transfected any number of different cells throughout the body, all of those cells, whichever ones they are, wherever they are, would be the target of an immune attack because the body sees that it's producing a foreign protein and will seek to destroy those cells. and it'll keep attacking it.
Your own cells.
Mm-hmm. Okay. If it's successful, then, the cell dies, you get rid of it. But the fact that this mRNA now is persisting and the cells continue to produce spike protein, well, you could effectively destroy an entire organ in a certain amount of time, depending on how big that organ is, how many cells are producing. And we know that we're seeing that now. We had that paper back in 2021 talking about specifically the female reproductive system, where they determined there were a minimum of 41 epitopes, those are sequences in a protein, on the spike that were a match for humans, and 27 of those matched proteins in the female reproductive system. Anything from just the development of the egg to the implantation of the egg to the ability to maintain the endometrium during the pregnancy. I mean, 27.
I understand
that. And really, all you need is one of those to go wrong, and you're infertile.
Right. Understand that the people who built this weapon knew all of this. They built it into the weapon. Just like they built shedding into the overall delivery of this biological weapon into the masses on the planet. They knew that's how they'd collect those vax, so-called, refusers. They knew. They built all this in. That's how evil these bastards are. Horrible. They're not human.
So one of the big ones early on that we knew there was an autoimmune component to was... Well, antibodies against your ACE2 receptors. And I think we're seeing quite a bit of that now. It would probably show up first in the lungs. And the downside of not having enough ACE2, is that you get high levels of ACE, which it's inflammatory. It causes fibrosis. It's everything associated with inflammation, oxidative stress, and tissue destruction or fibrosis. And ultimately, and you can measure this in a blood test, your levels of ACE, angiotensin converting enzyme, and high levels are predictive of sarcoidosis. And these coughs that people are experiencing now.
Chronic coughs,
shortness of breath, it can be, and I would say probably are, an indication of sarcoidosis. So the time frame would be probably about right, year to 2 years from the initial injections, to develop the antibodies that would go on to destroy enough ACE2 in the lungs that you could have sarcoidosis developing. And from there, it can go on to the lymph nodes or the skin. The skin is also another organ that can manifest sarcoidosis. Not good.
No. All right, let's move. Any general types of autoimmune disorders that you want to name? Are we talking about, for our listeners, chronic fatigue? What are we talking about here?
You name it.
It's like a big basket.
There's so many matches of human proteins to protein sequences that are on the spike, peptide sequences, that take your pick. But ACE2 is a big one. And then what else? So, anyone in the female reproductive tract, possibly components in the blood, possibly your T cells, in a similar fashion that how HIV works. I mean, it's basically the immune system that destroys the T cells.
Mm-hmm. It's like a shotgun blast to the body, the whole thing, and so many things can happen.
This has implications for people who have been shedded on, because ultimately they are making antibodies against this irritant. And it can result in a hypersensitivity reaction. Then there's four different types.
Mm-hmm.
Types 2, 3, and 4 are associated with COVID. So you're making antibodies against a protein and creating some kind of immune response that ultimately destroys your own tissues. I wonder if some of these bleeding disorders are actually autoimmune hemolytic anemia. I mean, there can be also the ACE2. You know, it's possible people that are shedded on are now have autoantibodies against their own ACE2 receptors.
Think about it. Their own ACE2. Okay.
So every time you go out and you're exposed to that irritant again, you're going to get that same reaction. And it's not so much the irritant itself, but the way your immune system is interacting with it.
Mm-hmm. So, again, for those of you who have been vaxxed, you want to stay away from the unvaxxed. I'm using the term advisedly, because they're going to be carrying the normal batch of pathogenicity that normal healthy people carry. They fight them off. They're not a problem, but they're going to be dumping them off. And your immune system, if you have been injected, has been severely compromised. And you don't want to be around people who have normal kinds of bacterial and viral issues in their body that they're spreading and sharing. You don't want that. So those who have not been injected want to stay away from the injected because they are dumping on you spike protein, mRNA, and probably other things that are just about as bad. We don't have it all figured out. We've got a lot of it figured out. Shedding is real, as we've made quite clear countless times on this program. So you need to stay away from those who especially have just gotten a booster. They are
they're going to be coming out with more probably, well, before fall. That's the plan.
Right. They are dumping crap to beat the band. Maybe they're dumping plasmids as well. We don't know about that. We can speculate. And if that's true, and plasmids are in the injections, and what plasmids do is go after your E. coli most commonly and reprogram the E. coli to begin to produce mRNA.
And or
keeping
spike.
This simple. And or spike. But the mRNA instructions will go out in your body and convert your cells into spike factories. That's what comes from the original injection. It's the mRNA. It's not spike.
Yeah.
Anyhow, that's just shedding. You stay away from your vax opposite, no matter which side of the street you're on. I know that's a lot to ask for people, but that's your safest course of action to take. Okay.
Well, and the just getting back to the bacterial or microbiome component, loss of ACE2 in the gut. That ACE2 is highly expressed throughout the intestines, and I've mentioned this before that when you lose that, you lose the ability to absorb tryptophan, which is an essential amino acid. It's what you need to make serotonin and melatonin, among other things, but that's primarily what it's known for. But your bacteria that live in the gut also use tryptophan to manufacture their own antimicrobial peptides. So to keep things like E. coli from overtaking your gut. And we know that people that have had the vax are losing many of their good bacteria. They're being the butyrate producers, which are Bifido, and there's other ones that F. Prausnitzky. These are very important for keeping out some of these opportunistic pathogens, the ones that produce lipopolysaccharides and other things that can make you really sick. They're gone. And it's not just going to be a matter of, as I said before, eating sauerkraut or just taking a off-the-shelf probiotic.
Or extra yogurt.
Or
that's
extra yogurt or kefir or whatever. You know, those are all good, but it will not solve that problem of not having a functioning ACE2 in your intestines. I don't know if people realize the gravity of that. And I keep seeing these articles now about colon cancer. Get screened for colon cancer. And it evidently is skyrocketing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then we have the other issue we discussed two, three programs ago, anti-antibodies. Now, this is wild.
Now it's getting, really, really complicated.
We don't want to go there too much, but do listen to our past programs and share them with anyone you care about or who's still able to think and ration their thoughts appropriately. So they're there. It's all there. Okay. Let's go and see what we have on our human ledger this time. The program, we always try and bring stories about people who have been injured or who are otherwise learning things that they never even dreamed could be true. And they're learning many times the hard way. So, okay. Now, 17 July. Did we do the marital discord, didn't we?
Yes.
That was interesting. Okay. How about recurring UTIs?
Okay.
Is that a good one?
Well, it's,
It's just common. This is shorty anyway. All right, somebody writes in. She says, I keep getting UTIs. It's really weird. And the response to that, unreal. Now I have a UTI that just came on and it hurts so badly. This damn shedding, it's the original poster saying this. And then someone responds with that. You are definitely on the right track. She said, by the way, probiotics, somebody did. And clean up your digestive bacteria, the bifida. So that's good. It's all in the gut. Fermented foods, cut out all sugars, etc. And the person responds to that, you are definitely on the right track. What I have found out recently is that you need to take out the harmful things before you can put anything back so they can be absorbed and utilized properly. If you remove all the heavy metals, toxins, and parasites in the body, your body will heal itself. I use a micronized zeolite and nanosilver to get our bodies into an alkaline environment to where nothing harmful can exist. I only buy my proteins and vegetables, etc., from a trusted source, local farmers that I personally know, so I can keep my body free of any of these bastards' poisons. They are getting us from all directions, too. The air, water, food, injections. So we all should be doing this consistently. We are going to go down swinging. So, okay, some things in there. Good. Some other things, jury's out.
Yeah, you know.
Being alkaline isn't the answer. That's not the answer. And a lot of people think that, but it's not not necessarily true. But it's not the answer.
Right. You do need minerals in your diet. You don't want to be eating contaminated foods of any kind. We are severely lacking in minerals. I mean, the foods just do not have what they had 100 years ago. The soils are depleted.
Soil.
They're green harvested. They're sprayed.
Right.
I mean, you're not going to get everything you need from food in terms of nutrition. So, but in terms of repairing the gut, that is a big job with this bioweapon illness because of the reasons I've stated. You've got microclotting throughout the intestine, so these bacteria are not going to be well nourished. There's going to be inflammation in the gut. There may be vagus nerve issues where the gut's not moving properly. You'll have an overgrowth of some of these really nasty pathogenic bacteria and a severe deficiency of the good ones, the bifido, the lactobacillus. the butyrate-producing ones. This is not an easy thing to overcome, and I am seeing quite a few reports of UTIs just coming on out of nowhere. And sometimes, if people have access to medical care, they will go and get checked for it, and it comes back that there's no infection. So what is it? Is it just cystitis?
Acid?
Well, your urine
condition?
Really should be acidic to prevent
bacteria.
Yes, precisely. And if it goes alkaline, it isn't long before you can develop
bacteria
a UTI.
Show up.
Yeah. But then the other thing is uric acid crystals can be in the urine. And a lot of these people do have high levels of uric acid, and they can, if it's high enough, it can crystallize and end up in the urine and irritate the bladder. You might just want to take a pH test strip and see if you're acid or alkaline, and then that can point you in the direction of, mm-hmm. Is it just cystitis, or is there actually an infection in there?
Right. All right. July 14th. Five down. Marital discord due to shedding. I don't think we've done all three of those.
I've got to get there. July 15?
14.
14.
Five down. Marital discord.
You better start. I'll try to find it.
All right. My hubby never reeked. This is about smells again. Until after
we did
he
this.
Got jet. We did all
this.
Three of them?
Yeah, we did.
They're not clicked over here. All right. Okay. Jabbed versus unjabbed. See that one? It's right
I'm
above.
Still looking. Okay.
All right, let me start here. Unfortunately, a lot of vaxxed people made the wrong choice, but are quick to forget, high-fiving each other, and calling unvaccinated, saying they should be locked up and not be allowed to use hospitals. Isn't that nice? So you chose not to take the bioweapon, so you should not be able to go into a hospital, and you should be jailed instead. The majority of vaxxed people do stink horribly. I work outside for myself, and I can smell them on the scaffolding. In other words, these are obviously construction people. It's the unvaccinated, I feel sorry for, who made the right choice and are now being shredded upon and made ill through no fault of their own. As regards to the unvaxxed having so-called structures in their blood, same as myself, are all fit and healthy. They have been I have been to six funerals in the last few months, all vaxxed and previously fit and healthy. Six funerals in a few months. Two of them I tried to wake up, but they were more interested in looking at crap on Facebook and TikTok and let's say conspiracies. Most of the people I know who had the vaccines were proud of it, and it was like a badge of honor. They didn't hear people being so proud of it nowadays, though. That's just one little shorty. All right. Go ahead. Shedding skeptic?
Unjabbed? Okay. Let's do shedding skeptic.
Go ahead.
Okay. You can't get blood clots from being around a jabbed person. That's just scaring people. They can't shed blood clots on people. Vaccinated people can only shed viruses, not blood clots and heart attacks. Because if people were really shedding blood clots, the whole population would have blood clots, as many jobs as there are. Think logically. Please, you said that the clots cannot be shedded before to me, but in your first comment, it did say it. And I actually have proof of it. You just said it again. Well, it's true.
Finish.
Uh, Someone says, I do believe that shedding caused blood clots. My arms go numb if someone recently had the vaccine within a few days and I'm next to them for too long.
Please keep in mind that we have never, ever said anything like that. Blood clots are not being shed. The mechanism by which they're formed is being shed. But this person is just not very articulate, so we don't want to leave anybody in the lurch with that one. Okay. Let's see. Early menopause. Hi, all. I have a friend whose husband got the shots. She hasn't had a period since 2 weeks before the shot. Not mentioned if it was after the first or the second shot, but this was in 2021 and no boosters since. She got blood work done and it indicates menopause. Anyone else experiencing early onset menopause from shedding?
Next one. Yes, this is me. I'm 46 and period started missing the same time as the jab started. Then last year I started having perimenopause symptoms. Really, really awful year. Now I'm a bit better, but I'm afraid when all comes back. So, yeah, more of, that's just an ongoing saga with women. Either they stop menstruating or they can't stop menstruating.
Right. Okay, here's another group. This is a 10 July. Shedding symptoms. It's the bottom half of the group.
Okay.
On 10 July. Okay. What sort of shedding symptoms do you all have? My number one now, and tell, I don't know what this is. It's hard to read these things. The grammar is not very good, and the syntax is worse. My number one now, and can't read it, can't make sense of it, followed by all the other yucky symptoms, pain, fatigue, bleeding, and depression. If I could stop the shedding, I could attend parks, concerts, and do travel. Unvaxxed. And if I had taken the vax, no telling if I'd still be alive. Of course, it's hard to share with others who have no idea of the dilemma that we all live with. That's shedding symptoms number one. Go ahead.
Okay. I get headaches, insomnia, fatigue, postmenopausal periods, muscle and joint pain, a feeling of radiation in my ears and head. I usually take one pellet of 200C Cilicia homeopathic, and the symptoms are lighter and disappear faster.
Hmm. Go ahead. The next one is secondhand shedding.
Secondhand shedding symptoms? Mm-hmm. My son's girlfriend is jabbed, and my son was sweating while at the lake with me. And when he hugged or touched me, I had a major rash and then bleeding. Sad to have to be careful with my own child. Set boundaries with everyone now.
Wow. It almost sounds preposterous. Someone you're around is vaxxed, they touch you, and you start bleeding. That's just,
I know.
It just doesn't sound possible. But these reports come in endlessly. Secondhand shedding is terrible. Routine at our house has changed. My husband comes home from work, showers immediately, puts his clothes in a sealed tote until it's time to do laundry. We both went to town today. Both showered right away upon returning. The longer the shedding in and on the hair and skin, the sicker I get. This is just, it seems to be, shedding seems to be getting worse, doesn't it? I mean, we're hearing a little more about
worse?
It.
Is it getting worse? Or are people just becoming increasingly sensitized to it?
I think you got it there. I think that's it. Yeah.
Or both.
All right. My little boy has been affected severely yesterday with blood in the stool. He was lethargic, etc. So wanting some articles to share with loved ones, this person's asking for help. Okay. So the last one is number 7.
I suddenly have little red dots all over my torso. Any idea if that is related to shedding or what it is?
Well, rashes, you know, there's so many things that can manifest in the body from the transmission via exhalations, all body fluids, touching. There's really no limit. This whole issue is so complex that we don't begrudge anyone who can't follow it. It's that crazy. I mean, we have to keep going full speed to stay up with this stuff. But the idea of shedding does seem to be one of hypersensitization. I agree. It's getting worse.
There's so many different aspects, dimensions to it. I mean, this could be just an allergic dermatitis. It could be a reawakening of herpes virus 6, human herpes virus 6.
Mm-hmm.
HHV6, which no one's really talking about, but if you go to the I think it's HHV6.org or something, there's a lot of people experiencing COVID and then a reactivation of this particular herpes virus. I mean, you hear a lot about Epstein-Barr because that's renowned for causing chronic fatigue. But I would throw in cytomegalovirus and also this HHV6 as other herpes viruses that can be awakened upon exposure to this spike protein or the virus, SARS-CoV-2.
I can't even imagine how messed up many people's immune systems are and how they could ever fight their way back to normalcy in that regard. That's a real tough one for people.
Well, one of the things that seems to get just obliterated with the infection, the SARS-CoV-2 virus, is you begin making anti-autobodies against your own interferon.
Oh, how
and
nice.
Then, I mean, that's established. That has happened.
Wow. Well,
so there goes part of your immune system.
One of the major building blocks of it, interferon is
well, first line
crucial.
Of defense, one of the first lines of defense.
Yeah, yeah. And we've talked about P53 and the
well,
BRCA.
The BRCA, I mean, 1.
With BRCA, BRCA, when they go, the door is open. And that's
well, you have no ability to
stop cancers.
No. Right, exactly.
Nope, that's gone. Okay, that's a lot of information, and we apologize if it's a little bit too much. But listen to the program again, and more of it will stick. It's all there. And again, this thing is so damned complicated and dangerous. And I remember long ago when we used to talk about it on this program, and we'd say that this is so incredibly sophisticated and diverse in its ability to destroy life that it's quite a daunting thing to even contemplate. It's that bad. So live clean, eat good food, don't eat garbage, and we have made suggestions and recommendations on certain supplements that can't hurt at all, and they're only going to help you. But again, I'd go back. If I had to take only two, I really think I would take Allicin C and Bio Superfood. I know for a fact that Bio Superfood has kept me at a high level of functioning for years. It's just essential. And there it is.
Good
the
stuff.
Banner's on the homepage. Go to it and try it. You'll like it. Remember that commercial? Try it. You'll like
Mikey.
It.
Mikey. Right?
You're right.
Mikey, like cereal?
You're right. That's right. Remember the Maypo cereals? I
Barely.
Want my Maypo.
Barely.
Well, I saw reruns. Okay. So there we go. That's our program tonight. Thank you, my friend. Talk soon.
Okay. Thank you, Jeff. Good night, everyone.
Okay. All right. We'll be right back with hour 3 for you after this.